1 Corinthians chapter 2, and we're going to look at verses 6 to 12. And in those verses there, we see man's wisdom set up against God's wisdom. Man's wisdom against God's wisdom. Now, Paul had been addressing the Corinthian believers on wisdom. He wanted them to understand that worldly wisdom cannot and never will compare with God's wisdom. The world's wisdom, in all truth and reality, doesn't come to much. And it will not come to much when you compare it to the wisdom of Almighty God. In verse 6 we read, "Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught." Notice he's speaking wisdom amongst those who are perfect. Now, does that mean that we are sinless and that we can do nothing wrong and that everything we do and say is always right? No, he's not talking about that sort of perfection. He's talking to those believers who have grown and matured in their walk with God. And the wisdom spoken of here is not the world's wisdom, not the wisdom of the princes of the world, whose wisdom, it tells us, shall amount to nothing. Paul had come to the believers in the wisdom, the spirit, and the power of Almighty God. And there was an inward reality and an inward joy. And this kind of wisdom was among the fully matured. You know, as you grow in your knowledge of Christ and your knowledge of God, you mature, and the Word of God becomes more real to you, and it's something you can no longer do without. And that's the wisdom we seek, rather than trying to work things out the world's ways. Our very thoughts should lead us and lead our lives to be regulated by the power of God and controlled by that inward reality and joy. And this is the kind of wisdom, again, among the fully matured. In verse 7 and 8 we read, "But we speak of the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it," and look what it says, "they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." You see, these princes of the world, they may have been great as far as worldly wisdom was concerned and worldly standards are concerned, but they were totally blind to the degree that they crucified the Lord of glory. And if these worldly princes were truly wise, had real wisdom, they would have recognized who the Lord Jesus was. But Paul said, well, first of all, they would have confessed him. They would have received him and trusted him as the Savior to come, as their personal Savior. But these princes of the world were so blinded by the wisdom of the world, that's what they did. They crucified the Lord of glory. But Paul says there, "We speak unto you, Corinthians, who are perfect, those who have been enriched in the Lord Jesus Christ, those who had accepted Christ as Savior, those who had been saved, who had grown in a knowledge of God and His will, a knowledge of the Lord, those who had matured in the Lord." See, these are the people who Hebrews 11:10 tells us who are looking for a city that has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Paul is speaking to them of the wisdom of God. And it says there, in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. See, Paul is not talking about the mundane things of life. He's talking of spiritual things. He's talking of the spiritual values which the world is incapable of receiving. You see, it does not matter how much education a person gets. It does not matter how prestigious their schooling was or is. If they're not guided by the Spirit of God, if they're not born again and guided by God, as Paul said in chapter 1, verse 5, that in everything you are enriched in Him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, then a wise man or woman will stumble over the simplest things of the mystery of the wisdom of God. You see, it is the great spiritual truths of God, the wisdom of God in a mystery. Now, the mystery here is not some sort of illusion or some type of magic trick. It's not something completely hidden that it's past finding out. It is hidden from the worldly wise. Those who show good judgment, those who make calculated decisions, they're of the world. But God's wisdom is revealed to those who have been saved and are in the Lord. Now, I know I've met some people who are lost and they're very well educated. They make very calculated decisions in their lives, but those decisions never mount up to what God's wisdom is for the believer. And I know many Christians who have the ability to live and walk in the wisdom of God, and yet they make such foolish mistakes. You see, our relationship with God is not based on outward works or outward knowledge. It's based on the fact that Christ dwells within us, that we have a personal relationship with Him. We have an intimate relationship with Him, one that He desires we foster with Him as we read His Word, as we pray to Him, as we gather together as believers. God wants to be at work in us. And when we understand that and when we foster those situations and when we take part in that, the wisdom of God begins to speak to us. It's not an audible voice that we hear. But the decisions we make are based on what He says. The choices we make are choices according to His will and His way. And because, you know, we have to be careful that every choice we make has a consequence. Every one of them. There's not one choice we make without a consequence. And if you choose to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, the consequences is God gives to you eternal life. The Bible, God's Word, begins to make sense. God begins to speak to you and all of a sudden you realize you're in a relationship where you can speak back to Him. Expect to hear from Him. You know, and the Holy Spirit today is at work seeking the lost, wanting to bring them into a relationship with the Father. Why? Because He loved the world so much. He doesn't want anyone to perish. So He simply says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. It's a promise. Believe and receive Christ and you'll be saved. The things that may not have made sense to you begin to make sense to you. God's wisdom is to reveal to those in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 1, 26 to 28, he says, for you see your calling, brethren, how that, look what it says, not many wise men after the flesh, in other words, those who are lost, those in the world, not many mighty men, not many noble are called. But God has chosen. This has always been a precious passage to me because I put myself in these next two verses. God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound that which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. You see, even the most simple things of the Bible cause some to stumble and to be confused because they're unable to fully understand them. And it is only when we are born again and the Spirit of God comes and indwells us permanently that the Scriptures begin to really come alive and make sense. And we go, hey, this is the Word of God, not the Word of man. Even the simple things can cause those who are lost to be confounded. Now, back in our text, 1 Corinthians 2:14, but the natural man, that's the lost one, the person who doesn't know Christ, receives not the things of the Spirit of God. Now, do I need to explain that? I don't think so. It's very simple. The person who hasn't accepted Christ as their Savior, the natural man, doesn't receive the things of the Spirit of God. Why? Because they're foolishness unto him. They're foolish. You know, when people upset you, people tend in the world, lost people, they want revenge. The Bible says to us, vengeance belongs to God. We leave it to him. The Bible said if someone slaps you in the cheek, the world says, well, slap them back. And God says, give them the other cheek. It's foolishness to lost people. And none of the princes of the world, who you think would be able to get a hold of great spiritual truths, they could not see these truths because the wisdom of the world is a blindfold to those who are unregenerated, the unregenerated spiritual self. It's a blindfold to them. And many of you, if you look at the princes of the world, look at our king at the moment. He used to be the Prince of Wales. And he's all for saving the environment. He's all for protecting this and protecting that. But when it comes to God, he has never a clue. And yet look how he was brought up. Look at the education he has received. But spiritual truths are not at work in the princes of the world who are lost. You'd think it would be. But they are spiritually blind. They have no teacher. There's no guide which we who are saved have and enjoy in the ministry and the work of the Holy Spirit. Verse 9 of our text says, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. And here it is. Here's the truth. See, the human eye, the human ear, the human soul could never work out the things that God has prepared for them, the spiritual things God has prepared for those who love him. Now, my wife's testimony is she always loved Jesus. She always loved God. But when she got saved, she recognized that love was only a superficial love. It wasn't a true love from the heart. It was just she knew about God, but she didn't have God in her heart. She had not been saved. And her love then changed and she understood what the true love of God was. Now, those of us who are saved, we can get together, we can open up our Bibles, and we can talk about the Bible. We can talk about spiritual things. We understand its doctrines, both Old and New Testament. We know the story. We understand the principles. We understand that God had put together a plan and a purpose to redeem man from the fall in the garden. And if we're talking away and someone overhears that, then 9 times out of 10, they haven't got a clue about any of it. And the only way they could come to understand spiritually the things of God is to get saved and accept Christ as their Savior. Now, verse 10 tells us, but God hath revealed them unto us, that's the born-again Christian, by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. That's a beautiful little phrase, isn't it? The deep things of God. That just makes a believer want to dive in and say, what's man, what's in here? What are we going to scratch away? It's a bit like the old-fashioned miners. Once they found a little sense of gold in the mines, they put their picks on their shoulders and they'd march right on in. They'd dig and they'd dig and they'd dig. And the deeper they went, the richer they become. And it's the same for the Christian, the same for anyone who wants to dig deep into the Word of God. If the Holy Spirit is moving in your life and He's leading you to find out more and more and more, then you dig and dig and dig and you'll find out the truth. You'll find out the spiritual things God wants you to know. The deep things of God. And there are many deep theological truths of God which are revealed to us who are simple people. The ordinary believer who's saved by God's grace. And the great and the mighty princes of this world in any generation would never be able to truly comprehend the truths of God. You know, man has been trying to work this world out ever since he has set foot on this earth. The universe, the planets, the existence of man. You know, they have these gigantic telescopes looking into space. They have these gigantic dishes sending out messages, hoping someone out there somewhere will send them a message back. They send spacecraft on a journey that just goes on and on and on. And they come up with all sorts of ideas and formulas trying to work the whole thing out. And you know what the believer has to do? Open their Bible and it says, in the beginning, God. That's what it says. What did he do? He created the heavens and earth. I don't need a giant telescope to try and work it out. I don't need to go into space and sort things out. God created the heavens and earth. God separated the land from the sea. There wasn't some big bang and everything happened. That takes more faith than believing in the Bible. God created man and the animals. God put the fish in the seas. God is great. God separated the Red Sea. God turned water into wine. And we know that's true because we know God is true. Verse 10, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. You see, once we get saved, we know this is the truth. I don't need the world's wisdom. All the wisdom I need is contained in God's Word. If I want to know how to treat my wife, it's very simple. I honour her. I've been studying in 1 Peter and I really wanted to get to the depths of what that honour meant. That honour meant I get on one knee before her. There's one for the men. She's not to walk two steps behind me. We'll get to that when we start preaching that. But the marriage union is a beautiful union of a man and a woman together walking with God and honouring one another the way God has set it out to be honoured. Always remember a lady, Mrs. Hatfield it was, I'll never forget it. Her and her husband, Richard, were the main leaders of the Awana system. She came up to me one day and I'd been saved for about a year or two and she said, "Brother Dennis," I said, "Yes, Mrs. Hatfield." She says, "I wouldn't be a man for all the money in the world." And I went home and I scratched my head and I'm saying to my wife, "I don't know what that means." And the more I studied, the more I looked, the more accountable I was to God for how I treated my wife. She's not some servant to take my socks off at the end of the day. She's someone I serve. I honour. And when I did that, I worked out. I didn't have to ask her to submit. The union just worked together. And if more Christians lived that way, there'd be less, the Christian divorce rate wouldn't be the same as the world's. Why? Because Christians are leaving the wisdom of God and they're taking on the wisdom of the world. And where the church and the world were sort of here 100 years or more ago, and as the world has slipped into the depths of depravity, the church, instead of still being here, is right here with the world. And all believers need to do is open our Bibles and we have the answer. And that's the mystery of the wisdom of God that Paul's speaking about in verse 7. And the Lord has revealed them unto us by His Spirit. See, that leaves the Christian. We have nothing at all to boast about. We have nothing to be proud about. Oh, look how much I know about the Bible. Look how clever I am. Look how many verses I can remember. There's no pride at all because it's all to do with the work of God and His Spirit in our lives. Verse 11, "For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God." See, it's simply a matter of fact that God has chosen and elected to reveal the great wonderful truths, these deep truths, unto us who are His children in the Lord, who are guided and taught by His Spirit. You see, we are absolutely dependent upon our teacher, the Holy Spirit. He guides us into all truth. He guides us into the wisdoms of the mysteries that He's speaking about in this chapter. Now, because of the grace of God, because of His great grace, in the beginning the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. And we're told that the Word was with God and was God. And God in His grace decided that no, I just won't wipe everything out and start again. I am going to come into this world in the person of Christ, take on a body of flesh and sacrifice Himself on the cross for our sakes to forgive our sins. That's the sort of God we have to deal with. What a wonderful God. That Jesus was allowed to taste death for every man. And in His death and His burial and His resurrection, He has made unto us first wisdom, then righteousness, then sanctification and redemption. And the natural man, in his own wisdom, ability, or power, can no more save himself than a leopard can change its spots. That's impossible. Salvation is the gift of God, and it can only be received after the natural man, the lost man, has heard the word, Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. They exercise faith in the message of the gospel, the finished work of Christ on the cross, and it places them into the position then to be born again into the family of God through the work of the Holy Spirit by receiving Christ as their Savior. Are you born again? Have you truly received him? Because there's no other way. Verse 12 of our text says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God." Look what it says, "that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." See, we as believers have received the spirit which is of God and not the spirit which is of the world. Yes, we're in the world. We can't deny that. We're all here today. We're all alive. We're all breathing. We are in the world. We know and understand that. And the world rubs shoulders with us every day that we live. And we have to deal with that. We have to face the difficulties and the challenges that come with that every day. But even though we are in the world, we are not of the world. You see, the ways and the walk of the world does not embrace the things of the world. We do not endorse them, and we would never join in with those things. We are in this world, but this world is not in us. And by that, what I mean is that we are not of the world. We are otherworldly. We have received the Spirit of God. By the new birth, we belong to God, not this world. And even though we reside in this world, it's only temporary. We are but passing through it on our way home to glory. And we are indwelt by the Spirit which is of God. And as believers, we each have the indwelling Spirit of God abiding with us. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are." You see, we who are saved in the grace of God are indwelt by the Spirit of God, not having received the spirit of the world, but instead the Spirit which is of God. And so, because of that, Ephesians 3:18 and 19 tells us, "may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ," listen to what it says, "which passeth knowledge." That's worldly knowledge. "That ye might be filled with all the fullness of God." Oh, what a God of grace we have. And without the dwelling of the Spirit of God in you, you're lost, and you'll never be able to understand God's wisdom, God's ways, and the fullness of God leading, directing, and taking hold of your life. Verse 13 of our text, "which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." You see, we don't speak in words of man's wisdom. See, our conversation is not of this world. We have a knowledge that the world knows nothing about. And this knowledge is communicated in Bible words, in Bible terms, not man's wisdom. And it's understood in Bible wisdom and Bible terms. It's understood because the Spirit of God dwells within every believer. You see, we do not make the gospel like the world. In other words, we do not make the Bible fit into the world. We make our lives fit into the Bible. Amen? That's what we do. And the gospel will never be relevant to the world, and the world will never understand the mystery of the gospel, Christ in you, the hope of glory. There's no way the natural man could ever understand verse 7, the wisdom of God and a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Do you know God in a personal, living relationship? If you do, then this wisdom is available to you. It's the wisdom we live by. It's the place we go. This is our directory of life. You know, there's an old acrostic for the word Bible, and that's believers' instructions before leaving earth. If we live in that, we'll have no problem when we leave. Amen. We're looking forward to it. But if you're not sure of your salvation, then understand that God loved you so much. He became flesh. He dwelt amongst us. He gave his life, shed his blood, the only blood perfect, holy and pure, to wash away and pay the penalty for the sins of this world, your sin and mine. And you simply just have to believe that that's true, that Christ died, was buried, and rose again. And your faith placed in that is what saves you. What a wonderful God we have. No wonder the world can't understand it. Amen. And we're left here to make sure they receive that message. Let's get it to them. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the preciousness of your word. We thank you for the awesome gift of the Holy Spirit. We thank you that, Lord, you are still seeking and saving those that are lost. That the Holy Spirit is still drawing people to come into a relationship with you through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, give us the wisdom to give out that gospel the way you want it done. May we look to you and you only for the direction of our life. And may your grace, Lord, be sufficient for us. Father, we thank you and we praise you for the precious salvation through our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. To you be all glory, honor, and praise forever and ever. Amen.